Welcome to Table Talk. Pull up a chair and have a seat as Pastor Brent Kuhlman and myself continue in our study of the Book of Revelation.
How you doing, Scott?
Good, Brent. Yourself?
I'm good. Are you refreshed from vacation?
Wonderful.
Really?
Yeah.
Usually when I go on vacation, I have to come home to rest.
You know, I had a great vacation, and you come back and there's a pile of stuff to do, but, you know, I'm pretty much caught up already.
Well, you must not have anything to do, obviously.
It just means I'm not very important.
Oh, it's a killer for me just to plan to go on vacation, got to get a ton done, and then when you get back, there's a ton more to do.
Well, you're a man that has about six different vocations, so that's part of it right there.
Join the club.
Yeah. Well, let's focus back here on Revelation. We finished up chapter 16, and there, you know, we had the seventh bowl being poured out. We had the judgment. The end has come.
Yeah.
But you notice the book of Revelation doesn't end there.
Yeah, it continues.
Chapter 16, verse 21 is not the last chapter in the Bible. You got 17 and onward. So what in the world has John got to say?
Well, he's going to expand even more, or as he writes, spirally, if you will. He will expand on the theme that he's already spoken of, namely the judgment against the great red dragon and the two beasts, because they are judged and Christ has won the victory. And so he's going to expand on both those themes, Christ's victory and what it means for the people of God, the redeemed believers in Christ. And then the opposite of that, he will expand on what it means for those who will not follow the Lamb, but rather worship the beast.
So it's kind of that dual theme that you hear throughout Scripture of blessing and curse.
Yeah.
Judgment and salvation.
Or the two ways in the Old Testament.
Okay. The way of death, the way of life.
Yeah, yeah.
With blessing or curse.
And this will be expanded, if you will, or summarized, explained, even revealed even more, as now we see even more about these things, the two cities. Two cities to which each group belongs, the city of God or the city Babylon on the earth. You know, John hasn't developed that very much, but now he's going to. He's going to draw parallels and he's going to draw out contrast between these two cities. There's going to be laments. There's going to be celebrations that are connected with the destruction of that great city called Babylon. And then, of course, there's going to be a new city, the one that comes out of heaven, the new Jerusalem. And notice too, just very quickly, just to make an observation before we get into the text in chapter 17. The one city, Babylon, is described as a prostitute or a whore, that kind of a woman. Whereas the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem that comes out of heaven, a bride of Christ, virgin,
radiant.
Pure. Yeah, pure.
Yeah.
So John's going to expand on all this, and it's going to be fun to watch how this works out.
Well, should we pick up here in chapter 17 then?
Yeah.
Okay, let's verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on earth have become drunk." I'm just going to stop for a second there. Notice the language. I'm going to show you the judgment.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So we're going to visually see the judgment.
And see, in this, Scott, as John gives this to us, and of course as Jesus gives us this through the prophet and apostle John, here is revealed to us the dynamics, if you will, that operate in both cities. And these, I failed to mention this at the beginning, these are dynamics that still are at work to this very day. Again, the church is tempted to compromise and accommodate or cave in to the wily ways of the red dragon and his two beasts, and to blur the boundaries or the borders between the two cities. And I have to say this, is just as dangerous today as it was in John's day. Remember what we heard before, Amos, in the Old Testament. He said, "Woe to those who sit complacently in Zion." That was Amos a long time ago. And that warning is still very necessary for all of us today. For as long as the world lasts, Zion, the New Jerusalem, is found right in the middle of Babylon. And again, I'm going to remind our listeners to what we heard in Revelation 2:13. Remember, Jesus says, I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce the faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Remember, that's what he wrote to the church at Pergamum.
Mm-hmm.
So the borders between the two cities are invisible, if you will. And it's only the wise, the discerning, the spirit-filled, baptized Christian who knows exactly where the boundaries are. And this is one of the reasons why you've got this in Revelation. Why these things are described. So that you are wise and discerning. And you know the difference between Babylon the Great and the New Jerusalem.
In the year 2010.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's, John wanted everybody to know that. This, and us too.
This is for the church of
yes,
all ages.
Yes.
So he who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, let's continue on verse 3. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and of earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. The blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs. Those very ones who cry mm-hmm. out from under the altar, how long, O Lord?
Yeah, and notice you didn't read the last part of the verse 6. Read that part.
Oh, I stopped. When I saw her, I marveled greatly.
I was in the NIVs, I was greatly astonished. Now, there are many ways you can take this, but I take this, I was greatly astonished, as I'm tempted too to follow her.
Very alluring.
Yes, exactly. Notice how she's dressed. So, see,
sounds like the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It was pleasing to the eye.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, John, remember, he receives a new revelation. Begins at chapter 17, goes all the way through chapter 21, verse 8. And notice this new revelation is introduced by one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls. The angel invites John to watch what? The judgment. The judgment that God will mete out on this prostitute called Babylon the Great. She's a great prostitute. And remember, in the Bible, a prostitute is a symbol. Well, I should say, that's the symbol of a great city that is also in turn the symbol of immense wickedness. Prostitute, great city, great wickedness. All three hang together here. So God's going to mete out this judgment on this evil city. The Old Testament commonly pictured a city as a woman. You know, you can read Isaiah 37 for that, Ezekiel 16. And there are many times in the Old Testament that the Bible speaks of the city as a prostitute, like in Isaiah 23 and Nahum 3. So that was my point here. And everybody knows the Bible is going to make this connection. Did you know, too, that the woman sits on what? Many waters at the end of verse 1. The woman sits on many waters. Now, Revelation 17:15 tells us what this means. We haven't gotten that far, but we have to go there. The many waters are the peoples, the multitudes, the nations, and languages. So this is a very important point I'm going to make. It's this. If the prostitute city is not just one place or one geographical location, it represents all the people that live and are in active and organized rebellion against God and against the Lamb who was slain. Now, remember how the rest of the book of Revelation describes these people? The inhabitants of the
earth.
Yes, who would not repent. So again, to repeat, when John sees this woman, this great prostitute who sits on many waters, the many waters are all-encompassing, all of the people on the earth who will not follow the Lamb, but who instead worship the beast.
So it's not just a distinction between Jew and Gentile. It's not particular nations, whether that be the Roman Empire or the Assyrians or something like
that. That's correct.
It cuts across all boundaries.
And all time.
And all time. That's a good point,
Until Judgment Day.
Yep. Yeah. Even as the water encompasses the earth, if you will.
And notice that she brings all kinds of humanity, all kinds of thinking, all kinds of culture into her alluring but yet wicked embrace. The kings of the earth, verse 2 says, are a part of her embrace. And of course, the kings of the earth represent the power structures of the world and all the world's cultures. And remember, once again, I got to say it again, the inhabitants of the earth represent all peoples who are in rebellion against God, according to verse 2. And notice they both have become intoxicated, or they become absolutely drunk with the wine of her, and I forget what your translation said.
Sexual immorality.
Yeah, or adulteries.
And another way that the scripture speaks of that is simply idolatry.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
False gods.
Yep.
Yep.
Now verse 3. To get a good look at the prostitute city, John needs to be in a safe place and in a place where his view will not be colored or distorted. And so the Spirit takes John in what I'll call a prophetic mode,
okay,
to the desert. In other words, prophetic mode means he's going to see things from God's perspective, the Spirit's perspective, which is the truth.
Well, we had that same language earlier in Revelation. He carried me away in the Spirit.
Exactly.
And that's what you mean by the prophetic mode.
Yep. Yep. He'll see things with God's glasses on and not ours or the devil's, but the Lord's glasses. And so he's taken to a desert. And of course, notice here that the desert stands in complete contrast to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the irony of that location is that whereas for John, the desert is a place of safety and clarity of vision, for the city, the desert is a sign of what she will become, a place of desolation, a haunt of every unclean demon, spirit, bird, or unclean beast, which we'll hear in 18:2 and later on in this chapter in verse 16.
That's so typical of Jesus turning everything on its head. I think of creating a dry place in the midst of the sea or creating streams in the wilderness. Now he's going to take the city and it becomes desolate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, theology of opposites in the book of Revelation.
There you go.
Always. Well, he sees this prostitute and she is seated on a red or a scarlet beast. And it's the same beast that we heard in Revelation 13:1.
Yeah, we have the seven heads and the 10 horns. So once again, supposedly a beast with wisdom and power, you might summarize it.
Exactly, and that's to imitate, it's to parody, it's to copy Christ himself. Because it's in chapter 19 that we hear about a rider on a white horse,
mm-hmm,
who has many diadems. See, and so all of this is to imitate Christ.
Well, it's for the sake of deception.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what a lure is. It deceives you until you're hooked.
That's right. That's
or
right.
Drunk or...
Well, and the other thing, too, about the scarlet color, it suggests royalty. It suggests also kinship with its master, the great red dragon that we heard about in chapter 13 as well. Or chapter 12, I should say.
Well, and you have that royalty colors associated with the woman then also in verse 4.
Yes.
Arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls.
And with the scarlet, we know who her master is then too.
Ah, there you go.
The red dragon.
Yep.
Also too, there was something else. Oh, blasphemous names, wasn't it? The beast. Is covered with blasphemous names. Blasphemous names. The relationship between the city and the beast, they go together. They're a unit, just like a horse and rider are its unit. I guess what we need to do is take a little break here and then come back to verse 4. Let's do that when we come back.